Welcome to the For the Church podcast, another great gospel-centered resource from Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. My name is Jared Wilson. I'm an assistant professor of pastoral ministry and author in residence at Midwestern Seminary. And I'm here, as always, at Christmas time. I'm here, as at every Christmas, for our annual Christmas episode with our annual Christmas special guest. This is the tradition to beat all traditions. Forget your stockings. Forget your chestnuts. Forget your Burl Ives and Nat King Cole. We've got the man, the myth, and the legend himself, Mr. Christmas, Dr. Ronnie Martin, Director of Leader Care for the Harbor Network. Welcome once again for this Christmas episode.
Oh my gosh, this is obviously the best pot of the year.
And you know what? Here is the cherry on top of the chocolate. This episode, I think for the first time, I could be wrong about this, I have to look back. This is the first of our Christmas episodes that we'll be releasing on Christmas Day.
Oh, it's actually on the day.
Yeah, because we're a Wednesday podcast and Christmas is on a Wednesday this year.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Oh, that makes it extra special. People, so they're hearing our voices right now. I mean, assuming they're not opening presents, assuming they're not just involved in all of the beautiful traditions, because what they really need to do is listen to this pod. You're hearing us right now on Christmas Day.
You know, it's more exciting than opening up what's under that tree is this podcast. When people wake up in the morning and they set the alarm so they could, you know, assemble that bike for their son, or, you know, get to work in the kitchen really early, their alarm goes off and they pick up their phone and they look at their updates. It's going to say For the Church Christmas episode. And they're going to say, this is the greatest Christmas.
Yeah, really. I can't disagree with that. Can't disagree.
Every year I picture, I don't know if anyone actually does this, and I would love to hear from somebody in the reviews or just, you know, give us a shout out on social media. Every year I picture somebody listening to the Christmas episode, Christmas afternoon, early evening, the presents, the boxes are open. There's trash all over the floor. Maybe they're taking that trash out. They're just trying to catch a breather.
Yes.
And they sit out in their garage or out on their deck or just in their study, and they're having a cup of coffee or a hot cocoa, and they just want something to kind of ease and soothe.
Yes.
The Christmas hangover. And they turn on our Christmas episode and it just ministers to them so deeply.
Oh, 100%. The day before, they should have been watching It's a Wonderful Life. So hopefully we are a nice follow-up to the best movie ever made.
Yeah. So for those of you who are new listeners, you really should go back and listen to the previous year's Christmas episodes. There's a reason why we have Ronnie Martin as our special guest every year on the Christmas episode. It's because he is a Christmas aficionado. It is a, if Jesus hadn't filled his heart, he would have asked Christmas into it alongside Jesus.
Well, because Jesus is in my heart, Christmas is in my heart alongside of.
No, that's true. I mean, it's Christ Mass. It's Mass Christ. There's more Christ when you bring in Christmas into your
heart.
Right.
So, that's right.
So if you're new, that's why we have Ronnie every year for this special episode. And what we like to do is just talk about Christmas. It's kind of a bantery episode. Not exactly, but we both love the holiday. We have talked in the past episodes have revolved around favorite Christmas memories, favorite Christmas music, favorite Christmas movies, or redemptive moments from Christmas movies. Today, I thought we'd talk about the idealized Christmas, and maybe we would just start with a little bit of walk down memory lane, some more kind of Christmas memories. I wonder if we could each give a few snapshots, you know, scroll through the mind here, pull out a few Polaroids of a moment from Christmas's past. And it could be from when you were a kid. It could be from when you're a teenager or even an adult. What was a moment? What's, you know, three or four moments that just, that was it. It was a beautiful Christmas moment. And it's now in the Polaroid of my memory.
Yeah. So here's one. I grew up in Southern California, and so it's the land of eternal sunshine. And so you don't get weather. You don't get Christmassy weather. And one of the griefs is that, you know, you can be winding down to Christmas Eve and it's still like, you know, 87 degrees out. It's hot. And so you're still doing all the Christmas stuff, but the weather is not cooperating, man. It's just, it's going against everything you believe to be true and desire for Christmas. And that's just because of where you live, you know? And I remember there was this one strange Christmas. I think I was about 9 years old, and my mom kept saying, you know, sometimes it snows in strange areas where you don't usually get snow. And if that's just something you want, then we should pray for that. And we should pray for that every day. And so on the way to school, because we had quite a bit of a commute to school every morning, we had about a 40-minute drive to school every morning. And we just started praying every morning after Thanksgiving that it would just snow at least one time before Christmas. And about a week before Christmas, we took off in the morning heading to school. And lo and behold, as we're winding through these mountain roads, which is kind of the area describes the area we lived in, it literally, in an area where it never snows, it's eternal sunshine, it started snowing, and it snowed for the next 30 minutes. And we were just dumbfounded. And it was just the most amazing thing. And, you know, of course, my mom's like, see the power of prayer. When we pray, the Lord hears us. And sometimes he grants us the desires of our hearts. And I was all in on that. And we prayed, and it snowed. And it was the only time that I ever remember that happening in all of my years in Southern California.
That's crazy.
It was crazy.
Man, I'm going to get you to pray for me. Get you. What would have been great into that story would be like Stephen King, if you're like, it started to snow and we were just so, like, our prayers were answered, and then the car slid off the road in the snow and down.
You're making this real cheery now.
It was a dark Christmas. It was a black Christmas.
Black Christmas.
Yeah. Let me give you one of mine that it's not a particular moment. It was really kind of a tradition.
Okay.
Where every year when I was a kid, and you remember this, but some of our viewers or listeners, those who are under 35 especially, probably will have no reference point for this, but there used to be a thing called the Sears Wish Book.
Oh.
And the, I mean, every department store had catalogs, but every year the Sears department store put out this gigantic, glossy paged catalog called the Wish Book.
It was the best.
And you'd get it in like October, November. It would come out early. And it was basically, I mean, a catalog of all the products they were going to offer for the Christmas season. And so I remember getting that thing, and you'd have to flip through because the first 200 some page, I mean, it was like a gigantic thing. It was probably 300,
so 400 thick, pages long. It was a jump.
I'd have to, yeah, that's right. I'd have to flip through, you know, women's fashions and hardware and all of these things to get to the toy section. And it was right after sporting goods and like luggage or something.
Yeah.
They'd have the new luggage collection, but I'd get to the toy section and it was usually like 30 pages.
Yeah.
Of
the latest toys. The latest toys.
Photographed so tantalizingly, sometimes with little kids playing with the toys.
Yeah.
But I remember going through that, you know, the Sears Wish Book every year and circling the things that I wanted. There was just something about sitting on the floor cross-legged with the Sears Wish Book in my lap and a pen and circling. Yeah, I want the He-Man Castle Grayskull playset, and I want the Pac-Man sleeping bag, and I want the, and just
surfacing every things. Ounce of greed that existed inside of your heart.
Yeah.
How many hours would you say you devoted to that catalog every year?
I mean, oh, like in each year?
Yeah, I mean, like if you added it all together, because it wasn't like you just went through it once. I mean,
no.
I think every single day.
Yeah, you're looking at it over and over again. You're like admiring the things that you circled. You know, you're giving it to your parents. This is what I want and what I still believe in Santa, which wasn't very long because my cousin spoiled the Santa myth for us. Oh. But, you know, this is what I want from Santa. I'd write a letter to Santa and say I would want these things. And there was just, yeah, there's something I think very nostalgic for me in sitting on the living room floor. I mean, I'm just the image of myself almost out of body as like 7 years old, six, seven, maybe sitting on the living room floor cross-legged with the Sears Wish Book in my lap and flipping through and
I love it so much.
What a moment. Yeah.
It's a memory we share. I did the same exact thing. And it was a momentous day when my mom would like get the mail out of the mailbox, walk in the door and say, look what just arrived. And it was just, I mean, me and my brother and my sister were just screaming. And who gets to look at it first? They should have sent three of them, obviously. And that holds a lot of nostalgia for me too.
That's great. All right, what's another snapshot that you've got?
Well, okay, so this is more general, but I absolutely loved Christmas Eve. There was something about the day because my parents would set it up to where it was just this really relaxed day where all kinds of food would be cooking and simmering. So the house smelled amazing. My dad was always home from work the whole day. So everybody's together. Everybody's in a jolly mood. And the big culmination of the day was that we got to open one present at 7 o'clock that night. And so all day, my dad just loved that we would just be pleading with him to like, let us bump that back to 6 o'clock or how about 5 o'clock? And all day, it just gave him so much pleasure to say, nope, it's 7. And I mean, he would not even let us open presents at 6:55. I mean, it was it was just like this. It was, so we had this really fun interchange with him, like throughout the whole day talking about, are we going to open one present? And hey, could we maybe open two? Because, you know, grandma had dropped off gifts, you know, a couple of weeks ago and there was a lot of them. And so it was just this really fun, like interchange, and it kind of encompassed the whole day. And it was just a day of like joy and anticipation. And it was almost like there was nothing bad that could happen that day. And it's like if your parents asked you to do anything that was like, you know, hey, I need you to straighten up your room because we have guests coming over tomorrow. We have family coming over tomorrow. It was just like, you know what? No problem. Happy to do it. It's like there was so much joy and anticipation in the air. You had this very like heart full of gratitude, and you were willing to give as you knew you were going to be given to the next morning. And I when I think of Christmas Eve, even more than Christmas Day itself, it was such a, because once Christmas Day is there, you're not hoping for anything anymore. So Christmas Eve was filled with so much hope and anticipation. And I think it's my favorite day of the year because of that. But we had such great memories just with going back and forth with mainly my dad all day, waiting and waiting and waiting. It was the longest day of the year too. So
I'm going to give you one of mine. You know, my ideal sort of, or the one that sticks out the most to me in my memory, which is almost feels like a, you know, truly snapshot or postcard, is something I shared in a previous Christmas episode. I don't remember if it was last year or the year before. And it was a Vermont memory of watching my wife with our two daughters sitting on the floor under the Christmas tree on Christmas morning and the big snow falling outside on the big picture window. And I was sitting in the armchair and watching this moment. And it just was like emblazoned into my heart that this is what it should look like for that moment. So I won't go into all the details about that, but this was when I was an adult. It wasn't even Christmas time, I don't believe. I think it was the fall. But I was speaking at Lancaster Bible College in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And I had some time and I had a car and I was looking at some things. What did I want to do? There's lots of stuff to do in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, particularly if you want to see, you know, the Amish, if you want to go visit a farm, there's all kinds of like crafts stores and little villages that you can go through that have shops and things. Well, I saw in this little magazine or in this little tourist guide, something called the National, not just Lancaster, but the National Center for Christmas. Wow. Christmas Center. And I thought, well, that sounds like it's got my name written all over it. And so when I told my host that I was going to this thing, they were like, don't waste your money. Do not. What are you doing? Don't go to this thing. And brother, it became so dear to me. It was the kitschiest. I drive to this thing. It's this huge building outside, National Christmas Center. I took a photo of myself outside under the sign. And you go in and there's all these different displays. It has the charm of kind of a roadside tourist attraction, you know, biggest ball of yarn in the world and, you know, things like that. But it was really big and it had all these different sections. And one section had things like, you know, nativity sets from all over the world. So what does a nativity set from Zambia look like, and et cetera?
Oh, wow. Okay.
So they had all that kind of thing. They had a whole section that was made to look like Bethlehem first century, like you're outdoors, but you're indoors. That gets me every time. I don't know what it is about being indoors, but feeling like you're outdoors does something for me. Even if it's super corny, Rainforest Cafe, whatever, the San Angel Inn at Disney's Epcot, anything like that. And it was like you're in in Bethlehem at night. I liked walking through all of that. And what made this all better is like no one was there. Like I was by myself. Oh, yeah. I had the whole place to myself. But then there was a recreation of like a 1950s Woolworths. Mm.
Oh, so
it's like you're walking into a five and dime, and they like got the glass
soda fountain and the
soda whole fountain glass cases with all the old, and everything was dated just right. It was the period specific, the floor, the stools, everything at the counter. It looked like you were walking into a 1950s five and dime. And I just that snapshot, I've tried to recapture that. I took my wife the last time, the next time we went, took my wife with me. She was not as impressed. She enjoyed, she enjoyed it. She did what she wasn't like, that's a waste, but it didn't do for her what it did for me. And she's a huge Christmas person. And now it doesn't exist. I think they moved it to someplace else and haven't reopened. And so it just exists as a snapshot.
I love that. And I love how you talked about the, you know, the Woolworths, and it's sort of that, It's sort of that 1950s, 1960s, mid-century kind of like vision of Christmas. And I think obviously that's before our time, but it kind of entered into our life given that we grew up in the 70s and 80s a little bit, you know, in some way. Yeah. And so, yeah, that what you described is just, yeah, that's sort of a big part of my experience too. I love that.
So what I want to do just for the next few minutes is let's each design our Christmas center. Let's say you could design your ideal Christmas. What from Christmas morning to Christmas afternoon, evening, or starting on Christmas Eve, because you like Christmas Eve the best. If you could design it, Lord, this is what I want this Christmas to be like. What would your idealized Christmas, your ideal Christmas be? What would happen? What would you do?
Yeah, there's a few elements, and it's I love what you just said too. Gosh, how you just described that Woolworths really got me in a nostalgia place of nostalgia.
Yeah.
Because it's weird about we do our best to like, you know, go through traditions and recreate things every year because that's what you do at Christmas time. And then sometimes that sort of almost inexplicable feeling of Christmas, it just washes over you in times when you're not even expecting it, even though you try. And then sometimes it doesn't work, like when you bring Becky to that center and it just didn't hit her. But like, but at another time it may have, it's like you try and sometimes it comes like the dust, the Christmas pixie dust gets sprinkled over you and you don't know when. And I think that's what Christmas Eve and Christmas is me ideally is just, it's waking up with this feeling of Christmas. And it's almost hard to describe. It isn't hard to describe to somebody if you love Christmas, because what you just described, what happened to you was that, right? But it just came out of nowhere. You weren't expecting it. And so for me, I wanted to include things like just, you know, foggy mornings and, you know, pancakes and just like where time almost slows down. And the conversations aren't filled with all of the regular static of everyday life, but you're talking about memories and you're doing things like, hey, we're going to watch It's a Wonderful Life a little bit later. We're going to go to the movies. We're going to finish wrapping some gifts. We're going to make something delicious in the kitchen. Hey, we have some friends coming over. We're going to open some presents. Hey, we're going to take a walk outside. We're going to do a little bit of sledding if there's snow. And, you know, we're going to do a little reading. So it includes all of those really cozy things, and they can happen in any kind of sequence. But I want them to I want those 2 days to include all of those things. And more than anything, an ideal Christmas for me is all of those things plus that Christmas feeling, which I think is just I'm totally content. And I'm also hopeful for the year that is to come. And I'm excited and I feel rested and everybody's in a good mood. And so some of that, like what I like to call that everyday static, has been removed. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think all of those things for me, if they just come together. And ironically enough, about 2 years ago in 2022, you know, my daughter was out for Christmas and it was just the three of us. And all of those things happened in the most magical way, in such a way that I had never thought would come back. And it reminded me of when she was a little kid and we did all the magical Christmas things. And it was the greatest time. And that Christmas feeling was just, it was just kind of permeating the air. And I'll never forget that year. And it returned once again. And that's what I'm always hoping for every year. Yeah. Right there.
Yeah. I have in my brain the fantasy that I've been able to experience bits and pieces over the last, you know, 15, yeah. 20 years, but never all in one.
Yes.
So like I picture staying up late Christmas Eve and just enjoying, you know, a roaring fire and, yes. you know, coffee and watching It's a Wonderful Life or something, and going to bed late and yet waking up Christmas Day in the morning, but not feeling tired, feeling very yes. rested.
Yes.
Part of my fantasy involves I have no deadlines. There's no writing deadlines. There's no sermon. There's nothing that's hanging over me that I realize on Christmas Day, oh, I'm not going to do it today, but it's there, sitting there. I've got to make sure I get it done. So that's not there. And you wake up feeling rested, but it's still pretty early that you don't feel like you've slept the day away. You know, you still oh, you yeah. got a lot. You got a lot of Christmas Day. And there's, you can smell cinnamon rolls with the frosting yes. in the kitchen, and you're in your PJs and you eat the cinnamon rolls with some coffee and you open presents with the family, and there's a snow on the ground and you don't have to go anywhere. I don't even care if the roads are covered, because it feels like snow has just sort of hemmed you into this moment.
Yes.
Right. It's just, this is where we are. We're doing this and we're surrounded.
That's a great line. Hems you in.
Yeah. Yeah. You're sort of tucked in by the snow for that day. Like I like that sort of concept.
Mm.
And I like the day feeling like it's really, really long with not yes. a lot to do.
Yes.
I try to do all of my Christmas activity in the weeks leading up to Christmas, the shopping, the oh, yeah. let's go to the Christmas parties, let's do all the Christmassy activity stuff, so that starting, you know, Christmas Eve, probably midday or afternoon, hey, for the next day and a half, we're just going to be home and we're yes. just going to enjoy this and try to soak it in. So, you know, you mentioned the idea of, you know, trying to capture these things and it sometimes being difficult. Why do we idealize? First of all, why do people idealize Christmas? What is it about this holiday, really any holiday, but this holiday, where people feel like it's got to live up to something, a nostalgic memory, a fantasy, an ideal? Why do we do that with Christmas?
I don't know. I guess it's a great question, because there's just nothing else like it. And I think, and I know that, you know, not every, you know, my parents just put a lot of effort into Christmas. And I know that's not everybody's experience, so I don't want to be too glib about it. But I think, just to your question, it's a lot of it is what you grew up with. So there's, you have a memory that you're trying to recreate. But I think there is, just as a kid, and again, depending on what your traditions were, our tradition was we woke up in the morning on Christmas morning, and under the tree there was presents that weren't there the previous night, and we did not know how they got there, you know? And so there, that is magic. And so it's something coming out of nothing, right? And there is just something so magical about that, and the way that we are hoping and anticipating. And that no other holiday really contains that. And I think it's one of the few ways that I do believe we experience some kind of magic in our lives, especially as kids. You know, when somebody gives you a gift, there's more that goes into it than just them buying something and wrapping it. But there's just this process behind it, this thought process, where they are saying, hey, I care about you, I care about what you love. And I went through a lot of effort to create a magical moment where I'm giving you something that's going to fill you with joy, you know, and to have that sort of, to have that expand into a whole morning that is Christmas morning. And there's just something so magical about that. There's something beautiful about that. And there's a lot of spiritual implications of that too, and how we think about Jesus. And again, I think that was yours and mine, you know, that was our, it sounds like that was our experience. But yeah, and I think for me, what that does now is at times it creates these expectations that are impossible. It gets all Chevy Chase, right? It's like the expectation that it's going to be perfect. And, you know, you have years that are better than others as adults, right? Where things work out, and years where it's like, we tried so hard and it just didn't go great. But there is, yeah, but there is that, I think there's the expectations that sometimes are impossible to meet, you know?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things you just discover is trying to design it yourself. There was something about when you're a kid, you don't have control over, you know, you can circle that stuff in the wish book, but you're not buying your own presents.
Right.
You know, you're making a list, you know, maybe, but there's that magic, you know, surprise that you talked about. There's a magic of like, well, how'd they get there? Who got them? Where, you know, what's in the box? Those sorts of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then just all the other things, you know, the whole, you know, the schedule, all of that is dictated by, you know, parents or church or somebody. And so you're just sort of carried away in the tide of this experience. Yeah. And sometimes it's annoying, but a lot of times, you know, when we look back, it's like, it's just the wonder of what was going on. We're small people. Everything's bigger than us. And we're just sort of being pulled along by this experience. And as we get older, and you're the one having to do the pulling, you're the one having to design it. And every year we're like, I want that little kid experience of like the magic of Christmas. But no, I'm actually the guy behind the curtain designing this magic now. And it just doesn't quite have the same thing, you know, the same resonance, because we're the one having to design it. We're the one trying to orchestrate this experience for ourselves. And that in and of itself undercuts what makes the experience so magical, is that it's happening to us, or it's so happening to us
now. I've never been.
Well, I wonder, I sometimes think like for us, it's a picture of heaven. It's right. It gives us a picture of heaven, of like the magic, the wonder, the surprise, the longing for home, the longing for comfort, the longing for beholding glory, like all of that is bound up in it. And heaven is not something that we can create on our own. It's something that comes to us. It's something that we go to, and it's written by God. And I think maybe that has something, you know, something to do with it. But at the same time, we can find these little slivers of magic, can't we? We can still get those 100%. Snapshots, even at our
It happens every year. And I love your story about Woolworths. Because I love that so much, because it happens to me every year where we do all these Christmassy things. And sometimes that feeling washes over you, and then other times it doesn't. And then it can be as simple as you walk into a convenience store and they're playing Sleigh Ride over the, you know, over the speakers, and it just washes over you. You're in a place that's not incredibly Christmassy, but you got this thing that's triggering this feeling. And it just, it's almost like it descends upon you, you know, and there's a magic to that because you didn't plan for it. It just happens. And the rest of your day, you can, sometimes you just carry that for the rest of the day. And so I always love thinking is, you know, are we going to receive one of these sort of like hidden pockets of Christmas that's going to sort of like burst upon us? And because it always happens every year, and it's so fun when it happens. It is magic when it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, to some extent, it's why there's parts of Christmas movies that seem to, I don't know, get my pleasure centers just right that I would not have anticipated. So even things like you mentioned Chevy Chase, the Christmas Vacation, the parts of Christmas Vacation that really get me are not him putting the lights together or the dinner around the table. And of course, all of that's played for, like, it's a catastrophe anyway. But there's a moment in the beginning where it's just shots of Christmas shopping.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even the scene where he's talking to the shop girl, which is, you know, not a Christian scene by any stretch. But there's just, they're playing, I think it's Hey Santa Claus or something. There's music playing, and there's shots of Chicago
Yeah.
Just the mall and outdoors. And there's something about that, that immersive.
Yeah.
That in the moment I was like, I want to be there. I want to feel that, hear that, see all of that. And, you know, it's like, I want to be in Bedford Falls, you know, I want to be, it's,
I know
there's something about the immersive thing for me, which almost, and I think the Christmas Center was this for me. It's like, it's not just that I want to have a good Christmas. It's, I want to be in Christmas world or Christmas land or be surrounded by these things. And I know that's a longing for heaven. I know that's,
it is.
That's what that is.
Yeah. I think C.S. Lewis obviously talks, I don't know that C.S. Lewis used a lot of Christmas language, but I would equate it to that in my own life, you know, in terms of just that sense of delightedness, that sense of anticipation and hope and joy. It's all intermingled together. And I think it's just a snapshot, a good snapshot, but probably even a pale shot of what it is going to be like, you know, with Jesus in glory. And I think we're just given this taste of it every once in a while. And I want to be able to think like, no, those are those moments that just get me a little closer and in touch with what heaven and with being with Jesus is going to be like. And I love imagining it like that. It helps me. It gives me a visual for it. And we long for that. We strive for that. And I think as believers, just that snapshot of hope and joy and anticipation, we know at some point, you know, that is going to be our everyday eternal reality. And that's beautiful, you know?
Yeah. So for those who are listening, if you're listening to this after Christmas or maybe after Christmas morning, it's Christmas afternoon. If you're like me, there's Christmas afternoon, early evening. You just kind of want to get away and decompress. And sometimes I'll pop on some podcasts or something like that to kind of just, you know, occupy my brain. If you're listening to us right now in that state, and I'm sure that somebody is, just a reminder to you that whatever disappointments, whatever, like, it's over, it's 364 days till the next attempt at this ideal. Remember that heaven is real. It will be beyond our wildest dreams. And I take great comfort in knowing that the Lord is coming soon. He says he's coming quickly, you know, He's not slow in keeping his promises, maybe slow as we count slowness, but he is not slow. So I do pray and hope that it was a great Christmas for you. I pray that this podcast has been a blessing to you. And Dr. Martin, Doc Martin, what do you hope is under the tree? Last parting question for you. What do you hope is under the tree this year?
Well, at this point, it'll be what was under the tree, right?
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. What was under the tree? Sorry.
Oh man, gosh, right now, you know, I'm a, you know, you get me that pair of shoes, another pair of shoes, another jacket for me. And I'm going to be really, really excited. I'm going to be really,
bro, happy. We are so different and yet so alike because the top two things of my brain were sneakers and a jacket.
It doesn't take a lot for me. I'm pretty simple, pretty easy. So yeah.
Oh yeah. That's awesome. All right. Well, dear listener, if you enjoyed the podcast, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Us a good review. Give us a good review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. And until next time, may Jesus be big in your church.
You've been listening to the For the Church podcast, hosted by Jared Wilson, found online at ftc.co. This resource is brought to you by Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Kansas City, Missouri, where we train leaders for the church.